was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching baits, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace, our lives will be an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. Distance sabers rattle, and the armies train for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to any song he sings. As the night rolls in on the rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. It's time for every righteous man to step up tall, take a stand. There is so little time. For if we fear and hesitate, soon it will be too late. We're the last hope of mankind. Time hurries on, the shadows fall, the hand is writing on the wall, but even now, there's still a chance.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on the RBN Network. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and you can find his information at courtroomwatch.org. How are you doing tonight, Eric?
Doing pretty well, Lori. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, I am doing well. Things are interesting, but you know, they always are, aren't they?
Better believe it. These days are something else.
Yeah, they really, truly are. So I want to let our audience know, because we always like to keep them informed. Tonight is really, hopefully, fingers crossed, going to be an interesting night. We're expecting a guest to come on if we're able to not have the technical difficulties that have been going on lately. We're expecting a guest, John Lamb, who has been heavily involved with keeping up with what is going on with the Bundy situation, with the court cases. If I'm not mistaken, he was also in the Oregon situation as well, as far as reporting for the court stuff that was going on over there as well, Eric. You two really need to get together, because he does a lot of what you do as well, keeping the eyes on the courts and stuff like that. So before we get him on here, I wanted to tell you, now I want to let our listeners know right now, this show is definitely going to be interesting. I have no access to internet right now. We are covering the show via being the type of in transit, if you will. And that is Eric and I. So that's how much we're going to let you know. We don't have access to internet right this second. So we're going to go off of what we know, and we're going to let you know about it. So, Eric, I wanted to let you know the other day, OregonLive.com, who is one of the sites that, of course, during the standoff, I mean, not the standoff, but during the protest in Oregon, they twisted and manipulated a lot of things, of course, to make the Patriots look bad. So now, as reported the other day, apparently the judge, and if I'm not mistaken, now, everybody, please remember, I'm going off of memory of what I read. So if you want to find the actual article, excuse me, and the information, you need to go to my Google Plus, LORRIANDERSON, and you need to go to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Media Collection, and it'll be in there, the article that I'm talking about. So what they did was this judge, and if I'm not mistaken, this is Judge Anna Brown, the same judge. And according to what was written in Oregon Live, some of the Oregon protesters are now being charged with, you know, also with misdemeanors. They're trying to tack that on. And I cannot remember the name of several of them that this applies to, but they are requesting and demanding a jury trial, Eric. And what is going on is this judge said, oh, no, because they're misdemeanors, you don't get that option. That's my decision. So this is something I wanted to put out there to the people. And then I want you to comment, Eric, because you know and I know that judge needs to reread the law because, all right, in all criminal prosecutions, everybody needs to hear this, whether it is misdemeanors or whether it is felonies, you have a right to a trial by jury. Now, this judge, if I am not mistaken, is a quote-unquote federal judge, so it would fall under the federal constitution. So in the Sixth Amendment to the federal constitution, it states, quote, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense, unquote. So on the federal end, if she's going off federal, okay, she is violating that. When you are talking misdemeanors, the only way that it can be up to the judge whether or not a jury trial is afforded is when the defendant, that is the person defending themselves, by the way, the defendant requests that he or she will waive the right to a jury trial. They do so on paper, and when they do, the judge then decides, okay, whether or not they're going to allow the trial by jury to be waived. That is the only time it comes into the judge's realm of decision is after it has been requested by the defendant. And that is it. It is not that she gets to pick and choose. If a defendant has requested a jury trial, constitutionally speaking, whether it be the federal constitution or whether it be the Oregon state constitution, which I'm going to go over real quick in that article and section as well, they have to give them a jury trial if the defendant requests it. This misnomer about, well, it's a misdemeanor, so you don't have that right, the judge gets to decide, that is a lie. She is making that up. They only get to decide if the defendant requests a waiver of a trial by jury, and that person, you know, they put in writing, I request to just waive my right to a trial by jury and go ahead and let the judge decide. And then the judge decides whether or not they will allow
a little deeper than that. It goes, it's not quite arbitrary. And what they mostly, I'm not completely 100% familiar with the Oregon statute, but in New York.
Well, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to go over the Oregon Constitution.
Here's what the long and short of it is. They're coming up in New York and Oregon and states all around the union. They're coming up with what's called judicial procedure law. And judicial procedure law is nothing of the sort. It's not law. It's just a bunch of toilet paper that the judges, the high witches, make up. And they say, well, you could defy this. And it, you know, the First Amendment has multiple federal cases that affirm the right to video in courtroom because it's a public place. And the New York state courts are saying that, sorry, our judicial procedure law number 52 or whatever it is says no cameras in the courtroom. So they just make stuff up. And so it's not just the individual judge making it up. It's the entire legislative body, the ones that vote for this, and every single one of them, including the judges, the legislators, the attorney, they're all members of the bar once again, and we can't stress this enough. These are club members.
But I don't know if it's actually what you're talking about, because that's not what they're quoting. What they were quoting was what allegedly the judge said is because it is a misdemeanor, that is not a guaranteed trial by jury, that is up to the judge, and that's not true.
In New York, they what they say is something similar, but not exactly. They say if there's less than 6 months jail time attached to the penalty, in other words, if it's not more than 6 months, if it's only 90 days or 120 days in jail, then you don't get a jury trial, you only get a bench trial. And it's either coming from one of two things, because the judges aren't totally arbitrary on this. They either comes from their judicial procedure law for the state of Oregon, or it comes from the Oregon state statute. And I don't know what the federal government is doing prosecuting misdemeanors. But the only thing the federal courts are supposed to be for are crimes committed against the United States. What crime is committed against the United States by Tom LaGuevara and all these other cases?
Okay, but here's the thing. If they're a federal court, they're not supposed to be going by Oregon. They're supposed to be going by federal.
And they're not supposed to be doing misdemeanors for prosecutions. These are for major felonies only. It's a very select few cases should be going into federal court at all.
Right. But so listen to what the Oregon Constitution says, Eric. It says, Article 1, Section 11 of the Oregon Constitution states, quote, the rights of accused in criminal prosecution, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have the right to a public trial by an impartial jury in the county in which the offense shall have been committed, to be heard by himself and counsel, to demand the nature and cause of the accusation against him, to have a copy thereof, to meet the witnesses face to face, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, provided, however, that any accused person, any accused person in other than capital cases, in other words, the accused in anything except murder cases, and with the consent of the trial judge. So the accused person, other than in murder, has to have consent of the trial judge, may elect to waive trial by jury. Who is that that may elect to waive it? It is the accused person. And consent to be tried by the judge, they have to consent, the accused has to consent to be tried by the judge of the court alone. Such election to be in writing. It must be in writing by the accused person that they want to waive the trial by jury. And then, after that, and it's in writing, then the judge can decide. Provided, however, that in circuit court, 10 members of the jury may render a verdict of guilty or not guilty, save and except a verdict of guilty of first-degree murder. which shall be found only by a unanimous verdict and not otherwise provided further, that the existing laws and constitutional provisions relative to criminal prosecutions shall be continued and remain in effect as to all prosecutions for crimes committed before the taking effect of this amendment. Now, this amendment was adopted by the people November the 8th of 1932, everybody. Okay? So this actually is still relevant. I checked it, and this is in there. So this woman trying to claim that she has that choice. No, that's only if the accused person elects
to put in writing
that I want to waive my trial by jury, and the accused has to consent to being tried by the judge of the court alone. They have to consent in writing. Now,
conversely, before you jump off this point, conversely, Tom needs to, or his attorney, one of them needs to put in writing exactly what you just read, citing that those constitutional statutes and provisions and the ones out of the federal constitution, Article 6 and Article 7, that both affirm the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and as you read before. So until the court's not going to really hear them if they object verbally, just standing there in the courtroom, Tom and or his attorney, whoever his lawyer is, need to file that the objections to what this judge is trying to rule in writing, or it's they're not going to, you know, they can't just stand there and say, I object, that's not fair, that's unconstitutional. You've got to write it up, file it with the court clerk, then post it on the internet. We got plenty of places to post. ResurrectTheRepublic.com, CourtroomWatch.org. So these should be posted, should filed and posted, and if Tom's lawyer is not in writing filing motions to reject that theory, then there's a problem there, and Tom or some of us are going to have to file on his behalf.
And you know, the thing that really gets to me is, okay, like I said, she's supposed to be a federal judge, so she can't rely on Oregon law.
But they'll have a similar federal judicial procedure or some federal statute that says no jury trial. We make the law now and enforce. You can see how far the arrogance of power goes.
Yeah, but you can also use their federal statute of 18 U.S. Code 241. That smashes that all to crud. So, but the thing is, I've never seen, and I'm not going to say it doesn't exist, I've never seen a U.S. code that says, oh, if it's a misdemeanor, you don't have a right to a trial by jury. They can't. I mean, that's just insane. No matter which constitution this judge is wanting to fall under, because this is federal, allegedly federal charges, so under the federal charges, she would have to be under federal statutes, not Oregon statutes, but federal statutes. Otherwise, it would be in the wrong court. And then, of course, you're talking lack of personal and subject matter jurisdiction if it's a federal court and using Oregon statutes. And they allegedly are in there over federal statutes. So if they're over there under federal statutes, they still have to apply the Sixth Amendment. And anybody who wants to sit there and say that doesn't apply is really, really needs to study, including that judge. And this judge, I mean, even in the federal constitution, anything over $20 in a common law court, when you're talking about civil cases, you have a right to jury. So, and that's constitutional, that's Seventh Amendment. So
this is rare to hear this in the federal courts. I mean, it's usually the state courts where this stuff rears its ugly head, because the federal courts usually don't get down to misdemeanors unless they really want to persecute some patriots, which is what they're
doing. Well, let me tell you what's going on. My opinion as to what's going on. This judge has already been through the previous trial, and they were all found not guilty, right? So they're going to try to make anything stick that they can.
Yep.
And that is one of the main reasons she does not want a jury trial, because she's scared once again it's going to happen. Well, that's because they didn't do anything wrong, everybody. They didn't do anything wrong. They really didn't. They were on open public land. It was open to everybody. They cleaned up the area. That area, people go and camp all the time. Just because a protest was involved, so what? It wasn't violent. It wasn't rioting. They weren't blowing up limos. They weren't tearing buildings down. No, they were cleaning up what the federal government or Bureau of Land Management, however you want to say it, had left trashed. They even had antiquities of the Native American artifacts getting just wrapped.
They had a bunch of Indian and Native American artifacts stashed in the basement of these places, and they weren't giving them back to the Native American tribes. They just, the federal government says, oh, we steal. Great. Huh? We got badge. We steal. I can almost guarantee, Lori, that if you dig into the, and I'm going to help you do it tomorrow, because this is the first I've heard of this today, about Tom's new development, that they're, once again, people, apparently Tom is...
But this isn't Tom. This isn't Tom. This is the other guys that are in Oregon.
Gotcha.
It's the second round. This is not Tom.
The second round of the last, like the Bundy trial affair. Okay. She wants her pound of flesh. She wants to use misdemeanors to try to square up the loss that she incurred, because the jury nullification succeeded and they walked away free men and women. But they never like to let anything go. And I can almost guarantee you, if you or I open up the federal judicial procedure law, that you will find somewhere recently in the past, probably in the past couple of years, during the Obama administration, they most likely added a provision for what this woman is claiming right now. She's gonna most likely have something that she's going to turn to and say, oh, here, no, I got it right here. We made up this. You cannot have no jury trial. So this is what happens in a third world banana republic, which the USA has become. It saddens me to know.
And plus, we have to remember, we have to be able to also hold them accountable. If they don't do that, we have to remember, I believe it is, I'm going off memory, everybody, Article 6, Section 2, where the judges are bound by the Constitution. All of them, whether they're in territories or cities or states
Article
or commonwealth.
It says judicial officers shall be bound by oath or affirmation to support this Constitution. Period. Every single judge that you run
Thank
into,
you.
People from small time stuff to big time, is they've every single judge. So a nice way to introduce yourself to one of the court witches when you get called up, mm-hmm. Mr. So and So, Mr. Smith, please come forward, and you go up and say, "Hi, sir, I accept your oath under Article 6." And right there, on the record, let the record show that I support and I affirm and I fully support and hold you to your oath under Article 6. Thank you for taking that oath, sir or ma'am. And guess what? You just locked them in to a little bit of an uncomfortable situation where they're not going to get away with enforcing this judicial procedure stuff, which contradicts the Constitution and common law.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. So I wanted to let everybody know about that. And like I said, right now I have no access to Internet, nor does Eric. So this is a pretty interesting night for us, but we are not, just because we don't have access to that right now, we are not going to not be able to show and give you the breaking news. Go ahead.
Let me give you a little secret. I don't ever have access to Internet, and that's why I fully support people go out and hunt down some good, decent, hard copy paper books that you can have in a pinch and refer to for material and knowledge and definitions. The best thing I ever did was go out and buy old dictionaries. They didn't cost anything at Goodwill. They were pennies. They weren't worth anything on the Internet, but they're good, a little bit older, but as old as you can get is usually good, because as time evolved, the definitions of certain things have been manipulated and changed a great deal.
Oh, Lord, yes.
Oh, it's ungodly. I noticed in one of the modern Oxford dictionary, there was no definition of any nations in there. I was looking up Holland for some reason, and I know the only Holland had a small H. And I'm like, where's Holland with the capital H, the country? Didn't have it. It had a small H Holland, which is a yoke you tie around a horse's cow's neck or something. But it didn't have a country. So I looked for France. there was no France. They had Frank and Francophile and the French, but they didn't describe the Republic in Central Europe called France, because when I got to the dictionary that had all the definitions, every single one, the African nation, Southeast Asia, Central America, South North America, all said the definition of every one of these countries was and is a republic, and then described the logo in Central Europe and Southeast Asia and Central Africa, blah, blah, blah. Even the African dictatorships were listed as republics. They've been warped and taken over by CIA economic hitmen, and we can go down that rabbit hole later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, but, you know, and I want to say something real quick. This all started, Oregon all started, most people know this, because the Hammonds. And the Hammonds are sitting on land and own property that the federal government wants because of resources.
Yep, mineral rich.
Mineral rich resources. This has very easily been connected with Hillary Clinton.
The biggest gold nugget ever found above ground, and a guy stepped on it, is in Oregon. And I believe it's in one of the banks up near Baker City or someplace near there. Biggest nugget ever found sticking out of the ground. The gold in Oregon is everywhere, not to mention the uranium. You got to have that for all your nuclear type stuff. So they and that's just the top two. I mean, there's silver, there's oil, there's all kinds of stuff. Interestingly enough, here in Western New York, there's a town called Petrolia. And as I looked into the history, guess what it said? Jesuit missionaries first discovered oil reserves in North America in upstate New York in the central Allegheny Mountain region. And the town of Petrolia, I just drove through it the other day with a friend, took me down there, and sure enough, it's welcome to Petrolia. There's gas. This country is so awash in resources. Everyone in this nation, not including getting any money from your Sestu Trust or all the fiduciary stuff they did with your trade name and in your name, just fund the resources. Everybody in this country should be getting a check for at least a couple of $100,000 a year. I believe in Alaska, every state resident gets a check for somewhere $2,000 to $3,000 a year from the oil reserves that are in Alaska. And by the way, remember Lindsey Williams. Don't ever let anybody tell you that we need to have, when you hear big oil men, and I got to say Rex Tillerson, say, we got to have, you know, we need Saudi Arabia and the Middle Eastern oil is so important to our economy and this is a crucial that's a bunch of BS. I spoke with a guy who described me. He said he was a plumber. I said, which building are you working on? He said, no, I'm an oil pipeline fitter. This was in Oregon when I was working there. And he had come off the Alaskan the oil fields. He was a driller, and he was a pipe fitter that drilled and accessed the oil in the well. And I said, so what's up? And
well,
he said,
well, Eric, hold on. We've got to go to break and just hold that thought, and we'll get right back to that thought right after the break. Everybody, please stay with us, and we'll speak to you right after a couple of words from our sponsor.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO-free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, close the sea of years. With no provision, but no basis, oh, the straits of fear.
Welcome back, everyone, to Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio Broadcast. On RBN Network, I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones, and we were in the middle of discussing the situation in Oregon on the second set of trials for individuals who were at the Oregon protest, where the judge, and I believe the name of the judge is Anna Brown. I'm not going to swear to that at 100% because I do not have the information directly in front of me. Of the misdemeanor charges, these individuals are requesting a trial by jury for their misdemeanor charges, and the judge is saying no, that they don't have a right to that jury trial because it is misdemeanor charges. So that is what our discussion is. Eric was in the middle of a thought, and then after Eric finishes with that thought, we're going to go over a couple of other little things that I think that you will enjoy hearing. So go ahead,
yeah,
Eric, if
quick.
You would finish with your...
Cool. I'll make this quick because I think we got a guest that's coming up here shortly, too. I don't want to intrude on his time. So, but here, we were talking about how Oregon is very mineral-rich. We were talking, I made the point that the entire nation, coast to coast, is absolutely awash in resources that the profits from, of course, never make it back to the people, even in a trickle-down fashion. And I just wanted people to know an interesting side note here that's very important on the international. This is where we're going to go to war if it's not North Korea or a small excursions in Africa, if squaring off against the Chinese. We're mostly going to be going to war over this. So the point I wanted to make in the Middle East, because of the oil, and you'll hear it from people, especially some getting confirmed, we need to have the PNAC documents that led to 9/11 said we need to gain control of the Wolfowitz report, I believe it was called, said we need to gain control of the Middle Eastern oil fields in the interest of national security. Bingo, got to have that oil, got to keep the Saudis happy. Most of our oil comes from OPEC. Boy, OPEC really sets the prices. OPEC is nothing. OPEC's a puppet.
Right.
And long and short is a plumber told me straight out, this guy worked on the oil fields in Alaska, and he said, we just got back from Alaska, and we tapped and capped 11 wells in 6 months. And I said, what's tap and cap? He said, we drill, they locate the oil, we drill the well, we line it, pipe it, and we put a cap on it and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hundreds and hundreds of crews doing tens of thousands of these wells. They're already dug and ready to flow. The oil is ready. The gasoline, should, if that could be accessed for the people of this nation, the gas price of gasoline would be 50 cents a gallon. There's so much oil in Alaska not waiting to be drilled. Already drilled, tapped and capped, they call it. They got a term for it. The insiders call it tap and cap. And they drill the well. They say, oh, great, oil, boom, cap it, walk away, and there it sits, ready to flow. But they're waiting until we have a war in the Middle East where we supposedly get our oil from. Oh, yeah, like we really need the Saudis. We don't need them at all. What the military-industrial complex and the globalists need is an excuse to invade the Middle East. So they claim we need our oil from OPEC, and they won't tell you that all the oil in the world is sitting right in Alaska, tapped and capped, ready to roll. Rock on.
Well, you have Alaska, you have Texas, you have the different things. But that's one of the things. It is a positive note on what President Donald Trump's doing, because he's reversing that and he's making it to where we can actually tap into our oil stuff here, our oil reserves here. And, you know, anybody who's checked into this knows and is under no illusion. We have plenty of oil reserves here. We absolutely, I mean, Texas sells its oil not just inside America, everybody. I mean, they sell their oil worldwide too, so there's no need whatsoever for us to do that. You're right on that. We don't need to be an OPEC. We need to be self-reliant. And, you know, that's one of the things that the old world order wanted to do. That's a way of taking away that self-reliance, because they don't want us to be self-sufficient, because if we are self-sufficient, they can't control us. If you control the resources and you control the land and you control the foods, you control ultimately the people. You also decide how many people live and die. Whether you realize it or not, it is that simple. Because if you don't have the water and the food that you need, you're going to die, period. And so what has happened over this long period of time, not just with the oil, Eric, you know this as well, the ones who were part of the old world order, that's what I call them now. They used to be called the new world order. They used to be called the new international order, or many different other factions. I call them the old world order. But what they had done is a lot of times in the central government or federal government, if you will, if that's what you want to call them, they would pay farmers not to grow their own tobacco, or they would pay farmers to grow only this certain thing and nothing else. So the food production, because, you know, that's a good point that you're bringing up, because the food production has gone down, and we're shipping food in to the United States of America. And then you have these people on fake news. They're panicking. They're like, well, what if Mexico doesn't send food in here? It's called Grow It.
Yeah, and the ethanol,
get the boom back in America, grow it.
And the ethanol scam was not to save the environment or to lower the price of fuel. It was to turn an enormous percentage of the nation's corn supply. I've heard numbers as high as 20 to 30% of the nation's corn supply going over to the ethanol production and being taken out of the food supply. That's going to drive the price of food up. The more scarce the commodity, the higher the price is going to go. Ergo, food, any type of food increase is going to be a really effective way for the globalists to control the people. You can keep them hungry and keep them cold and keep them, you know, scrapping around to give the resources to a couple of corporate. And I'm not a communist here. I'm not against free enterprise and mining your minerals.
Well, communists aren't for oil. Free enterprise. Communists are not for free enterprise.
I'm not against, what I'm trying to get over it is I'm not saying that the government should be in charge or any of making sure that the people all get exactly it perfect. If you own a piece of property, you ought to be able to mine, drill, farm, and grow what you need or want to grow.
Right.
Simple as that, without interference. So I'm not against, but unfortunately, what has gravitated to the top of this pyramid is such a very few multinational corporations owned by such a very few people that nothing's getting back to us, so to speak. There's just, if there's anything I can make the case, this middle class, especially in the U.S., is being driven into the ground.
Here's the thing, Eric, though.
Of everybody getting a piece of the resources, I think you'd have a more prosperous society. It'd be more equitable. The certain people would still make more than others. I'm not into an exact piece, the same piece of the pie for everybody. I'm a free enterprise type of person. But unfortunately, the free enterprise we have now really is a free enterprise. It's the powerful corporations using lobbyists to buy off the congressmen and senators who pass laws to do precisely what they did with Obamacare, which is actually a death plan, which is pass a fake made-up statute that mandates every small business get health care for their employees at a huge expense, and then give waivers out to the couple of thousand top players like Coca-Cola and McDonald's and all the big, so that's not a fair playing field. So it's not
Obamacare in and of itself, too. The ACA in and of itself is not even health insurance. The ACA is only the rule, and it is the same insurance companies that have signed on with contracts with the inside the ACA. So that's not the health insurance. You've got Blue Cross Blue Shield and different things that sign on with it. So if people thinking that Obamacare is even health insurance in the first place is pretty ironic, because it's not.
What I heard someone at one of the hospitals saying over lunch, and he was not trying to make it quiet, he said it's an insurance company takeover. That's the bottom line.
And
he was in the hospital. I mean, he'd worked the books at a huge hospital, and he said the only entities that are benefiting from this are the insurance companies themselves. Mm-hmm. They were the ones who got it passed, and everybody else, they just say go screw because you're the people.
Well, let's be specific on that, though. It was only specific insurance companies that benefited, and then because of certain things, then they started failing. The smaller insurance companies, the independents and stuff like that, they're the ones who got crushed. So they were doing exactly what they claimed they were trying to stop, is exactly what they fed into, and they knew what they were doing. That's why nobody got to read it until it was passed. My theory, there should be a law. You cannot pass anything, nothing, unless you have read it, period.
Well, and there ought to be a minimum. Remember the town hall meetings that they conveniently ended after everybody started showing up and saying, we don't like the government the way it is now. Go back to the way it was. Resurrect the republic, so to speak. They need to have a mandatory number of not only read it, it has to be mandatorily read. And now how are you going to hold them to that? They're going to say they read it and didn't, a kid trying to get out of his homework, I suppose. But they ought to
read
some
publicly.
There ought to be some mandated certain number, minimum number of town hall meetings so they could get their rear end back home, like AmericaAgain.net is encouraging people to do, bring Congress back home, get them out of Washington, get them home and accountable to the people. Now, part of me says, unless we drain the swamp, so to speak, and get new people in there, do I really want these Congress people coming home close? I'd send them as far away as possible. We're really not supposed to be doing anything except repealing the damage they've done for the last, 100, 150 years.
Well, that's one way to look at it, but you could also look at it this way, too. If they're mandatory to be back home, they're in their neighborhoods. People know where they're at. People know where they live.
It can only help.
So they're going to feel more pressure in their neighborhoods than they are in Washington because they're like, oh, I'm untouchable here. But when they're having to face their neighbors, they know, oh, wait a minute, maybe I don't want to step on that.
Let me play the other side to that. I'm not so sure they care. Look at your local tyrants and thugs and government communist commissars. They operate just fine. They're ripping you and raping you off, often worse than the feds are, worse than your federal congressman, your U.S. senator, or your U.S. congressman, is your local county commissioner and your local, head of the police force that's just taking people into the court willy-nilly.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure. And they hang out in cliques and clubs. They go to the country club. They don't really get out in real society with us, regular people. You don't see them much, except at some event where there's tons of security, and they have their little Praetorian kind of fiefdoms that are very well protected, and I'm not so sure them coming back home. I'm not ragging against America. Again, they're great, and they got a good idea, but I'm not sure that that's going to make these people any better. They're just going to keep doing what they're doing over the Internet and over by telephone with a phone and a pencil and keep doing these corporate contracts and these edicts that come out of Washington. I think they could do as much damage to our freedom if they're home. And I'm not so sure they're really going to care that they're home now, so we better really do start behaving ourselves. And now the white hat, the black hat, are just going to take off their black hat and put on their white hat. I've heard that from some absurd people in the supposed freedom movement.
I agree with you to a point. What I'm saying is if they're local, then when the people actually get engaged, like we encourage everybody to always do, that's when they feel the heat. They feel the heat when the people are actually at these meetings. If there's a meeting with 10 people there and everybody just sits there and listens, then of course they're not going to feel the heat. But if you get people going in, like they did in the Bundy case over in 2014 and 2015, and actually even before that with the town halls and everybody was speaking out and there were tons of people, let me tell you, there was a lot of pressure there. They're going to feel that pressure whether they like it or not.
That's a good point. If people know that there's a U.S. congressman now living home, they might show up for more political activism than they will for just their local mayor. Or, it might be like, the rock star's here. Let's go. Now we can really make... So it might attract more people. In that respect, great. It's a good idea. But there needs to be so many other things that need to be done besides just bringing those guys home. We have to talk about removing their jurisdiction until they know that they don't have authority to exercise over BLM or DEA or Department of Homeland Gestapo or any of this other garbage. Until they get that through their heads, having them home is not going to do much more good. And people aren't that politically savvy on a local basis. They may let them keep getting away with what they're doing now. There needs to be more.
Yeah.
But okay, so let's go to our guest, Lori.
We have some calls. Okay, let's go ahead and take some calls, if you would. Mike, who do we have on the line?
Dave.
Hello? Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave. How are you doing tonight?
Fine. Pretty well. You guys jumped ahead of the subject matter change since I heard you talking. I was going to talk about oil. There's a couple of things that I heard. This is back in 2004. There's this, you can look it up on the net. It's called Sustainable Oil. And essentially what it says is that the notion of fossil fuel is completely bogus. The Russians know that inorganic material.
It's actually abiotic instead of peak.
Okay, so that's one thing, and it's being replenished. That's one myth that's dispelled. The other one is this thing called a liquid thorium nuclear energy. Kirk Sorensen, have you heard about that?
No. Educate me.
Okay, so look, there's a YouTube video. You got to see it. It's called LFTR, liquid thorium reactor in 5 minutes, and it's just a whirlwind synopsis of how it works. Essentially, what it is, it's a material. Thorium is very plentiful in the earth. It's a byproduct of rare earth mining, and they can use it It's high energy. You can hold a year's worth of the material in your hand.
Oh wow! Really?
And it's very safe. It's very safe from the perspective that it actually runs at room 400 degrees C, and it's already liquid. Mm-hmm. And there's no need to keep it under pressure, so that if there is a rupture of the if there's a loss of electricity, there's a mm-hmm. little freeze plug that essentially keeps it from in the chamber. And so when the mm-hmm. electricity fails, that freeze plug warms up, and then it all drains into a containment. And there's no expansion of radioactive gas or whatever. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. That's pretty neat. Yeah, it's really good.
I was just going to say, I'm going to have to check that out. I've never heard of this, so I'm really glad you called.
Yeah,
I love learning new things.
I've seen some great alternative energy stuff on the internet. Motors that run off, the most basic of organic, whether it's splitting the water or just water and magnets. And I mean, there was one guy who had something. It was a little long, 10 or 12 feet long, but I mean, there was no, it barely got warm and there was no emissions coming out the end. And I mean, it was clean mm-hmm. and I forget what he was running his on, but it was something simple and basic. And there's this, some amazing technology that's been what the corporate players call it is they call it disruptive technology. That's their insider term. It's disruptive. It's going to
exactly
be disruptive to the to them. I mean, it's going to be very very awesome to us because we'd actually have some freedom and some we would have the technology that God put forth through some brilliant people. But unfortunately, the intelligence agencies come in, they scoop everything up. And I appreciate you bringing this up, caller, because this is very, very important. I mean, this is why we have to shut down the intelligence agencies. There's just no use for
Let me tell you, I don't know if you know this. Now, I'm going off of memory, everybody. So I want to make sure that you know this. Check this out, because if I remember correctly, And I want to state that, because I can't state this as fact. It's not right up in front of me. I can't give you exactly where to look for it. So if I remember correctly, it was reported something that President Trump was going to try to do is release some of that. You know how the government will hold a lot of the inventions and stuff like that. And it was reported, but I can't remember who reported it, so I don't know if it's factual. Do you know what I'm saying? And
I've
don't want anybody to think that I'm... So I don't want to tell anybody it is factual. I just want to say, you may want to research, because I've heard he's going to be releasing some of that information too. Now, I'm all for any kind of alternative that anybody wants to do. However, the federal government still at no point whatsoever was ever given authority to tell the people how they can and cannot run, whether it be their vehicles, their homes, their heating, their whatever the case may be. That is all a farce. That is not constitutional. Everybody has a right to, and oil, this delusion that, it's going to run out in a year. Okay, the earth has been around. If we go scientifically, right, if instead of biblically, if we go scientifically, the earth has been around for billions of years, this oil has been around for billions of years, and you're trying to tell me, because we've been around for a couple of thousand, we're just going to use up all the oil. That is not even...
I've heard an interview, I forget the guy's name, but he I'm sure he's out there, you could find him if you had it. He's the leading scientific researcher on the abiotic oil versus peak oil. Peak oil says it's rotting dinosaurs, and there's only a limited amount, and it's going to run out any day. And abiotic
means that's crazy.
Through the tectonic activity and the mantles mm-hmm. of the earth, which are the plates of rock underneath that move and shift, and the chemical reaction, I believe it had to do with methane or methane, or I can't remember. I'm not a chemist or a scientist. I don't want to butcher the theory. But you get the point. He made it out, and he spelled out the chemicals and the temperatures and what was required as far as pressure and friction and the whole smash, and it was absolutely not only possible, but it was obvious
that oil is being produced by the very living mechanism called Earth.
Yeah, God gave us resources to be able to live and survive. You know, just because you till grass or you dig up some grass, right, the grass still comes back. You mow your grass, it comes back. Other people want to say, well, oil is so much different. You know, but let's think about this for a second. You can put cement making a walkway in a city, right, a sidewalk. And through that cement, you're going to see grass grow through it. So this, on top of that, you know, the fish, the water, everything. God.
Even the human body.
Everything regenerates.
Right. If you take care of it the right way and you maintain it and hydrate it and you oxygenate it and you do you stay healthy, so to speak. I mean, there's several things we can talk about that in another show, but many things you can do to help your body regenerate itself. And, you know, at least for the life that you are here, be healthy and as active as possible.
Well, I like that. And I cannot remember, the comedian's name. He is no longer alive. I really wish he was. He was amazing. And, you know, I'm not going to obviously say everything, and I'll probably mess it up because I'm not really a good comedian, but I will try for everybody because it was really funny. He was like, get off of this mess that we're going to destroy the earth. The earth has been around for billions of years. It has been through volcanoes. It has been through tectonic shifts. It has been through hurricanes and tornadoes and tsunamis, and it has frozen and it has thawed, and all you've got the ice age, and you have, you know, the other periods, and you have all of this going on, and you think because we've been around and as far as using electricity and things like that, approximately what, 200 years, that we are so big and we are so effective to the earth. It's been through all of this stuff, and then us little people over here just using electricity off the natural resources for the last, say, 200 years, and that's not really probably accurate. That we're going to shut down the planet that's been around for billions, you know.
I think that was George Carlin.
That was the name.
Yes, that was him. He was great.
And, I mean, he said, you know, and everybody's fussing about the plastic. And let me tell you, many people don't think about this, guys. But tell me, this is very true. Many people don't think about plastics are made out of oil. Okay. Plastics are made out of oil. Tires are made out of oil. Carpet is made out of oil. Tons of stuff's made out of oil, people. You need to understand what you're asking for.
Athletics.
We will be back with you right after a couple of words from our network sponsors.
Hi, folks. In a world of GMO, genetically modified organisms, that is, chemicals, processed foods, and a healthcare system that's unraveling like a cheap suit, it's time to prepare. God created herbs, and herbs help man. Our body can heal itself, just sometimes we need assistance. You need some help? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our mild detox is quite powerful with its unique blend of 8 different herbs. And if you're looking for more, our non-GMO supplements will help you with different needs you might have. Health should be a top priority. Take care of your health naturally. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Give your body a treat. Let the herbs do their thing naturally. Read all the testimonies on the website. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Sickness and viruses are like intruders, and herbs are like warriors. Let the tea work for you. That's GetTheTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.